Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. She made her mark in South Dakota alongside the governor. She visited more than 300 schools, read dozens of books out loud, and led efforts to reduce the infant mortality rate in South Dakota. First Lady Linda Dugard bids farewell to Pierre this weekend. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about her influence on his blog. You can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster, and he joins us now on the phone. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
It's great to be back. Apparently, my phone has been disconnected. So if anybody out there, if I owe you money, I'm sorry. Eventually, I'll get to it.
All right. One step at a time.
We got landline issues.
You know, this is the time to sort of look at some folks that are walking out the door, as well as some folks who are coming in. You've been through a few of these transitions, and this is my first. It's kind of interesting, to watch it unfold.
It's a little different in South Dakota than maybe in some states, because the transition is always from pretty much always from Republican to Republican when it reaches the positions of real authority and really power, and this is one of those. But it's a little different now, especially in the governor's office, because of having the first woman. I think that's a significant thing. And I think she's a woman that's going to make things interesting, maybe in a different way. And she's got some different perspectives. I think she's not quite as tied into the old line, regular male dominant Republican guard, and that might make things interesting too. Mm-hmm. And of course, it'll be interesting to see on where Marty Jackley goes, who he takes with him, because I'm very interested in who's going to his office and Pierre and who's staying.
Right.
And how that develops for a guy that I'm sure is a qualified lawyer, but who's in some minds in Jason Roundsburg, didn't really have much criminal experience. So that'll be interesting, too.
He mentioned in that conversation leading from the front and taking those big cases, and that came to my mind, too, as that was one of the criticisms during the campaign of Roundsburg, was that he didn't have the ability to do that. So we'll be able to watch him prove people wrong, or watch him navigate, what kind of attorney general he will be.
I hope he's as reachable and as accessible, as Jackley was, because
right.
He was great. You know, even if he didn't want to talk to you, he would call you back and tell you he didn't want to talk to you, or would give you what he could,
He would always give you a lot of time, too. I mean, it wasn't just,
it
wasn't 5 minutes, it was 20. And you're like, okay.
Absolutely.
But we also have this incoming first gentleman, Brian Nome, and that's a new thing for the state. And in your current blog, you looked at outgoing First Lady Linda Dugard, and sort of one of her projects that she was determined to work on and address was infant mortality in the state. And it sort of begins with putting babies in dresser drawers and where they're going to sleep. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, because when we were doing the interview, and it was back in November, because that's the pace I work on these days, getting stuff published, especially during the hunting season. But we were doing the interview, and it was a great interview in the Capitol. And it was a double where I went and interviewed the governor, and then I got to do the real show, which was the reason I was there, was Linda. And we had a great talk, and she was talking about infant mortality, and I had interviewed her when I was with Kello about that issue, and of course everybody else did, because it was so important, and what she did was so important. And she mentioned that babies in drawers, and as some people, when they leave, when they're asked, where is your baby going to sleep, they might say that. And I was aghast, putting a baby in a drawer? What? And backed her up, and she said, well, in some instances, that's the only safe option they have, because it's in a room full of people and a house full of people, too small and limited resources, that could be a safe place until they can find a better
right.
option.
Right. To be clear, you don't close the drawer. The drawer is the drawer is the miniature bassinet or the miniature crib.
And probably not the top drawer necessarily, but a drawer that is secure and at least gets the baby away, as she said. Place them as they should be placed in there, and at least they aren't going to get rolled over on or have something fall on them or suffocate on their own, because you can control their sleep there.
Yeah.
But they want better options, and that's what they offer in the CRIBS program.
Exactly, yes. So we should be clear about that we're not suggesting that's a viable solution. It's, part of this the effort to provide prenatal care and education and access to CRIBS and bassinets and products that are meant for infants. But the simple fact of how you put them to sleep and what's surrounding them is critical, a critical piece of education. Yeah.
Absolutely. And she touches on this in there of a student when she was teaching at Del Rapids St. Mary's, and this adult woman with a child that lost her child at a daycare because it was fussy and they propped it up and it was a little boy, I think, and he rolled over and suffocated, 4 months old, I think. And you can imagine the torment there, the awful torment. And Linda talked about how this young woman, she hopes someday will go around with her and talk about these issues and work through that issue herself. Now, she's gone on to be a nurse and an obstetrics nurse and having a child, a healthy child. So that's all great. But there's still that issue out there that will never go away.
So tell me what your thoughts are about then something, an initiative like that getting continued, because, how do those efforts move forward in a new administration? Is there a way to sort of transition that to make sure the work is still being done?
I Linda Dugard talks about continuing with that in her retirement, along with, of course, all the other things that she talks about in this piece. But I can't imagine that Kristi Noem wouldn't be committed to that and wouldn't be especially sensitive to that. And, you and I have talked about her referring to her mother's heart on certain issues. And, a lot of people would think she's a hard, hard woman, and she can be pretty hard. I mean, she's a tough, tough woman. But I've also seen that heart and seen her specifically on reservations with suicide issues and those kinds of things, where it was clear that she was deeply moved and touched and angered in the way that I think sometimes women, and I don't want to appear sexist at all, can get angered and full of fire about those kinds of issues, that maybe even more so than men do, and want to get something done. And so I would expect her to be very strong on that.
Or maybe we just notice it more when women get angry.
Maybe because you're more direct about expressing it. And, guys go have a beer and go hunting.
I don't know. Maybe people are surprised about it and have different expectations for how women should express their anger.
But I would tell you that she took that and maybe also just not trying to mask it a little bit. Guys might try and mask it a little bit, and she did not mask it. It was clear that she was outraged and wounded by what was going on down there. And I would think she would have the same commitment to this issue.
So one interesting thing, and we're almost out of time, but is this notion that you asked Linda Dugard if she was interested in running for office or if she had a political future. And she kind of said, if I had thought of it earlier, if I had really known earlier, maybe I would have. She maybe had a heart for it a little bit, but the opportunities weren't there at the right time for her.
I loved that. And I was saddened by that and interested by that she had this experience as a committee secretary and peer, and of course as the wife of the lieutenant governor and governor. And she could just certainly do it. I mean, she's a powerfully strong, smart woman. The third of 12 kids, and she says in their family they refer to the oldest six as the elders. So she's one of the six elders, and she is an opinionated, smart, strong woman, and I think she would have, I felt sad that she couldn't be part of the process, that maybe that time has passed her by. Or maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe not. Who knows, right? You can find the blog on our website, sdpb.org/booster, and we'll talk with you, Kevin, again next week. See you then.